Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
No place to go, darling.
6:11. Oh, it's been a busy show today. Lots happening. So much happening, I don't have time to tell you about it. I'll play a little fact of fiction, with your host, John DeCoste, coming up. And a special guest this morning, ladies and gentlemen, Nick DiGilio.
How are you?
I haven't seen you in months.
It's been a long time.
Yeah.
It's
remember we used to hang out every day?
I remember that. I remember those days, back in those days.
So, nice to see you. Today's school picture day.
Today is school picture day here, and mine is scheduled a little bit after 7, so I thought I'd hang out with you guys for a while.
Shouldn't you be in makeup and hair?
That's going to take longer than an hour, trust me.
You use the typical makeup people we use before this show. Yesterday, watching Abigail Grace, got a great story to tell you, but it turns out that she is a crime fighter. Senator Durbin's on the show today.
You just found that out?
I had no idea. Pat Tomasulo's on the show today. He's got more time now that he got canceled. And Annabelle Laval coming up on the mess in Puerto Rico, but let's do the top six.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks. With the top 6 at 6, sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
Speaking of Puerto Rico, waving flags, chanting, banging pots and pans, tens of thousands of Puerto Ricans jammed a highway Monday to demand the resignation of Governor Rosello in a crisis triggered by a leak of offensive, obscenity-laden chat messages between him and his advisors. This is the type of thing where if it were 10 years ago, 15 at the most, you'd never know. Just never know. That's how the world's changed. And if you have any inclination to write down something that could be deemed offensive to someone else, don't do it. Don't hit send. I mean, literally, go to the person you were intending to message and say the offensive thing and then go home. or don't say it. I mean, that's the other option. The protests come 10 days after the leak of 889 pages of online chants in which Governor Rosello and some of his closest aides insulted women, mocked constituents, including victims of Hurricane Maria. The people are saying he's got to go. So this has been boiling for coming up on 2 weeks, the end of this week, in Annabelle Laval. That's her home. She will tell us about it from a personal perspective coming up next. Donald Trump had a great day yesterday making friends and influencing people. He said it's getting harder for him to want to make a deal with Iran. Okay, Captain. Tensions between the two countries have boiled hotter after an unmanned U.S. drone was shot down over international water. Iran is also currently holding a British oil tanker that took by force to the Strait of Hormuz. President Trump said, and I'm making this up, he said, you know what? They lie a lot. I mean, how would he know?
Wow. So he does know the difference between a lie and the truth.
Apparently, he can spot it in others. The other thing he said yesterday was that he could end the war in Afghanistan in 10 days, but he'd have to wipe out the entire country and kill 10 million people. Very presidential. Very, very presidential.
Great way to do it.
Mm-hmm. Next.
Also, we're helping that country, by the way. So, what a thing to say.
Well, we've had 2,000 people die in service in a fight in that country, but he could end it in 10 days.
Because they behave very badly.
Yeah, he's a super guy. Ford is spending $450 million and creating 450 full-time jobs in Chicago to handle the increased demand of new versions of the Explorer and the Lincoln Aviator. Now, your boy Matthew McConaughey, is he still doing the Lincoln commercial?
He is.
Are they any weirder than they were before?
Nothing has got as weird as when he was stopped in the middle of the road, looked at a buffalo, and went, yeah.
Yeah.
And then drove off.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we don't know why that makes you want to buy a Lincoln.
It's a great car. But he was in the Lincoln Lawyer. He was in the movie The Lincoln Lawyer.
That's where it started.
That's how it all started, because he was a lawyer in the backseat of a Lincoln conducting his law.
And why is he always in the desert?
I like the one where you've seen the one where he's just come off of a fantastic jog.
Oh yeah, I like that.
Oh yeah.
The big forest.
Gets in the car.
I don't know that one.
You don't know that one? You got to see it.
The one where he just falls into the pool at a party.
Yeah. How about when he how about he's at the party? He's at the party, and then he goes, he sees a billiard table. Oh, yeah, man.
And he hits a shot.
Hits a shot and goes, I'm gone.
And then the hot lady goes, yeah.
And he goes, I'm going to see I can do trick shots now. I'm going to get in my car.
Get my Lincoln.
All right.
I don't find him sexy anymore at all. He's just so weird.
You know, he always ends up on all these lists as the top 10 celebrities who smell.
Oh yeah,
yeah. He
no, you can tell.
Deodorant.
Yeah, you know, you can tell.
Yeah,
you can tell just by looking at him. Like, yeah, he's probably smells like a something.
This is a guy you love.
I do. I love. I adore him.
Yeah,
I think
yeah.
he's great.
The investment Ford makes is in addition to plans announced in February to spend $1 billion and add 500 jobs in Chicago. So that's a good thing.
Hey, by the way, have you seen the trailer for Ford versus Ferrari with Matt Damon and oh boy, why am I blanking on it? It's but anyway, it's about how they were gonna like Ford was gonna design a sports car. And a race car.
I don't know anything about it.
Yeah, no, it looks great. It comes out in November. It's called Ford versus Ferrari.
Tom Brady is getting slammed on the internet for jumping off a cliff on vacation with his 6-year-old daughter. The video posted on Friday shows on Facebook and Instagram shows Brady and his daughter Viv standing near the edge of a cliff. Brady grabs his daughter's hand, counts to three, and then they leap off the cliff straight into the water. The reactions to the video were mixed. Some on the video didn't think what Brady did with his daughter was all that risky. Others felt it was very dangerous. I think what's really important is that you have other people judge you as a parent on video based on the fact that you weren't there, you don't know what you're talking about, and therefore you must know.
Yeah, I think he's better off
not posting the video.
I thought it was fine. It was cute. She's a cute little girl, and they're just... Dad and daughter having some fun.
She's perfectly fine.
Yeah, but don't post it because you know the reaction.
So when he jumped off, though, did he go down a lot faster with all those rings on?
He did.
No, that's a good point. I thought about that.
He kind of dragged her down with him.
Yeah. That's a true risk. I mean, look, I would not have done it with my kids, but mostly because I can't swim. So that would have been my major concern. Next. Al Franken says he absolutely regrets resigning after being accused of sexual misconduct last year. 2017, been 2 years now, was accused of groping and forcible kissing of multiple women, which is not... but he tells The New Yorker he disagrees with the way his accusers describe their interactions. That's kind of my point. Franken says people constantly tell him, you shouldn't have resigned. I bet that's fun for him.
Yeah,
walking around going, oh, Al, you shouldn't have resigned. You shouldn't have quit.
And especially the fellow Democratic lawmakers who say now they wish they hadn't forced him to resign.
Yeah, that makes him feel better.
Feel real good, yeah.
And one more. Tom Hanks says that he's loving the Mr. Rogers. Stars as Mr. Rogers in the first trailer for A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood. Taking its name from Mr. Rogers' classic theme song. John, give me a little bit of that, will you? It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood.
Do you want me to sing it?
No, not anymore.
Okay. Wow.
A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood tells the story of the real-life friendship between Fred Rogers and a journalist named Tom Junod. Assigned to write a profile about Rogers, the cynical Junod finds his life transformed by the experience. If you did not see the documentary last year on Fred Rogers, see it. It's remarkable.
It's great. Yeah, one of the best movies of last year.
There are some people that were put on this earth for a particular reason. He was put on this earth to be kind to children and to teach the rest of us to do the same who don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, this
movie looks really good, though. The trailer for the Tom Hanks film looks really strong.
Gratuitous violence?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Tarantino did a rewrite.
Tarantino did a Mr. Rogers story?
I don't know if you knew that or not.
That doesn't seem right. Kid of the Week coming up. That's the Top 6 at 6.
That's it!
That's all today for the Top 6 at 6.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
They're saying the way for us to move on is to start fresh. We need new representation, and we want the governor to resign. And they've protested for 10 straight days. Today, the largest demonstration potentially in the history of the island, and you stand with firm resolve and talk about accomplishments. Do you hear them? Do you hear them and care what they're saying today? Or is the cavalier attitude from the text messages sort of living in the background again today? I ask not for myself, but for the people who were on a hot, wet day in San Juan and across that island today saying, we want him gone.
No, I hear them, and it's part of my introspection, and I will continue to hear them. I will continue to make my decisions and work with the people of Puerto Rico.
It's the governor of Puerto Rico, as the people are in the streets demanding that he leave, with a concern of violence at any time becoming kind of an unstoppable wave. And above all, this is your home as we welcome on in. Are you worried about this?
I am worried, but not as worried as I was after the message on Sunday that he wasn't resigning. I really thought people would take to the streets. But we are a peaceful people, and if you look at the video of yesterday's march, which was the biggest so far, and we've had 10 days of protests, people were dancing and singing, and they had a strong message. The message is not watered down by our music, but they are determined. This is a different generation of Puerto Ricans. Steve, and good morning, and hi to all you guys. Because these are people that went through Maria, through the Hurricane Maria.
Sure.
A lot of the memes say, you know, we survived 1 year without water, without power, without help. We'll wait you out. We'll make sure that they're determined enough to get this done. So I am not as worried about violence. There's always a group. I don't think in history you can find some kind of protest without some kind of conflict. There's always somebody who gets away, or, you know, gets ahead of themselves and becomes violent. There's always a group. And it usually is happening late at night when the majority of people have gone home. But these are young, determined people. I was reading something from David Bignot from CBS this morning, and he says it's the young people's revolution. And that's a word that I can tell you scares people like my parents, right? The
sure.
word revolution, because they're in their 80s. But my parents are also different. I spoke to my dad yesterday, and he's like, this is embarrassing. And this is my father's political party. My dad belongs to the New Progressive Party. And my dad's like, this is embarrassing, this is pathetic, and he says, and you know, we're a different people now, and we're not going to sit idle while he mocks us. You were talking about the text, the chat group earlier. They're investigating the chat group too, because they were having conversations that may have been illegal. They were discussing topics that were government matters that may have not been allowed to, you know, be discussed in that kind of a forum.
Well, I thought the Shep Smith interview was pretty remarkable, because it showed the governor to be completely clueless and the worst cartoon of a typical politician anywhere on the planet. And it's about dignity, right? It's about dignity, where you have people. Look, people talk about people behind their backs. When you do it in that manner and it becomes public and you are elected by the public to serve, and then you stand in front of the world and say, well, the public voted for me. Get a clue, man. They're in the street. Go
yeah.
now.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, we are not an independent country. We are a colony of the United States. We need to have a relationship with the United States where they trust us and they can talk to us and we can get things done. And from the president down, they've told them they don't trust them. Those are your bosses. Those are the people you need to get help from.
Right.
And they're not going to help you. So you're just hindering the process of recovery for us, because we're still in recovery mode.
You know, I'm spacing on the mayor of San Juan. What is her name?
Carmen Julin.
And she is beyond mocked in these text messages and chats.
Yeah.
Is she, you know, obviously that should never happen, but is she well thought of there? I mean, how does she do in popularity?
Well, I don't know how to answer that. My parents don't hold her in great regard because San Juan is a mess. So she's been great as a spokesperson for the cause, and she's been great getting us the international and national attention, but her town is a mess, and my parents are residents there, and I see a few friends of mine posting, like, hey, stop touring the United States and get back to work, because she's let areas get flooded that don't need to be flooded, that kind of problem, no cleanup, crime, but we can't take away the fact that she was the one who was out there yelling and screaming that people were dying of hunger, and that wasn't a lie, that people were dying of thirst. So she filed a complaint against the police. I mean, I'm sorry, against the governor and his consultants that are in that chat group. She filed a complaint with the police department because there were threats. to shoot her, and he answers, oh, you'll do me a favor.
Exactly.
So I went to school with guys like this. This guy is a privileged white Puerto Rican
thug
guy who almost like a frat boy that never outgrows it.
Mm-hmm.
And his parents were well-to-do. And so I was taught empathy, and a lot of my guy friends were taught empathy, right? His group of people were not taught, you know, just because you have money doesn't mean you cannot live the struggles of your people and understand what people need and be empathetic. He's laughing at our dead, and so are the folks that are with him. Like, at no point in this chat does he say, oh, you went over the line, or doesn't answer or cancel the chat. So here's the other thing, Steve. This is the straw that broke the camel's back. We've had corrupt governments just like everywhere forever, right? There were no chats before, like you said, right?
But it's time for it to end. It's time to hit the flush handle.
People are done. Yeah. And a week before this, they had arrested the education secretary, the former education secretary, and the woman in charge of the health insurance or the health program in Puerto Rico for stealing millions of dollars.
So it feels kind of ridiculous for us to be sitting around watching. Is there something we can do?
No, not really.
You
can call your congressman, but remember, we're a colony, right? So if the governor of Texas needs to resign, then you could call the legislature in Puerto Rico and force them, but, you know, and try and tell them to start the impeachment process. But, you know, you don't live in Puerto Rico. It's hard. Just support us. Just understand that, you know, right now I don't know if I'm going to get somebody around town because I'm kind of lost because I'm so.
Well, this is more important than around town. Come on.
Totally.
And I'll let you go on this, but what you said, yeah, I think is important. Talk to your Congress people, the people that want your vote and need your vote, and just say, I expect you to support Puerto Rico and the people of Puerto Rico in particular. Thank you for doing this, and let us know if you need to talk more about it, because we're here.
Well, I really appreciate it, and I appreciate you guys at WGN Radio always opening the lines for me and willing to listen, which is important, right? This is, as everything in life, it's not a black and white situation, although this is pretty obvious. Yeah,
this is
right?
Pretty black and white, no question. And keep in mind, you'll always be my favorite Puerto Rican, including the Hamilton guy.
I appreciate that.
Yeah,
I know. You're my favorite Napervillian.
All right, go do your job. Thank you.
Love you guys. Thank you so much.
Adam Olival. She's great. And she is passionate about it. She should be. Her parents are there. Her brother's there. She's got family there. I mean, most of her family's there, obviously. And it's a mess. I can't remember if we were talking about this on here or off the air, but 10 or 15 years ago, you wouldn't know. Now you know. Don't hit send, Dave. You're the one that invented it. Don't hit send.
I trademarked that saying.
And if you want to say something inappropriate to your friends or even other people you work with, get it out of your system. Mm-hmm. But this is it. You know, she's not wrong. This is the type of elected official that's about to come to power in the UK, that's already in power here, that is in power in countries around the world, that if you have an opportunity to make a change for the good of the people, good for the people of Puerto Rico standing up and saying, no, enough. Get out.
Yep.
Got to take a break. Back with the headlines in a moment. This is the Nick DiGilio Show featuring Steve Cochran on 720 WGN. Now, how old are you?
I am 10 years old.
14.
8. 12.
I'm 18.
I'm 10 years old.
What grade are you in or about to go into?
I'm a senior.
8th grade.
Sophomore year.
Just finished junior year, so yes, I'm a senior.
I'm in 4th.
What do you do for fun?
I love art. Art is my favorite.
I do soccer, basketball, cheerleading, tennis, baseball.
I like to play on a trampoline, and I love to make slime.
I act in plays, and I sing all the time.
I also write stories because I love writing.
I play tennis. I also like to play soccer with my best buddy, but I'm not on a team.
Listen, you're a great kid. What do you want to be when you grow up?
I'm still figuring it out.
Pediatric oncologist.
I really want to be a marine biologist.
I'm not really sure yet, but I'm looking into biomechanical engineering.
I want to be an orthodontist because you can help kids feel better out their smiles.
Will you run for president someday?
I want to.
Are you excited to be on the show?
Yeah.
You sound super excited. Have you ever been more excited than this?
Yeah.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Kid of the Week every week. Get your Kid of the Week entries in. You go to WGNRadio.com. Just click on the Kid of the Week, Steve Cochran Show, then Kid of the Week tab, or search it, and it's right there. Sierra Johnson joins us this morning. Sierra is
Kid of the Week. Hey, Sierra.
Hi, good morning. How are you?
Thanks for getting up. I know this is early for you in the summertime. Are you okay?
Yes, I'm doing good.
Okay, come on. Suck it up now, Sierra. You're Kid of the Week. You have to inspire others. Sierra is 17 years old. You're going to college this fall. Where are you going?
I'm going to University of Dayton in Ohio.
The Flyers. How'd you decide that?
Yes. I actually was looking for like a really good pre-law program, and they have the ability to get my bachelor's and my master's in 5 years, so I'm going to be going there.
This is why she's Kid of the Week, that type of energy, that type of drive. She's not going to college going, I don't know, I'll think about what I'm going to do when I'm 25. What kind of lawyer do you want to be?
I want to be a criminal defense attorney. And
is that right?
I actually want to work my way up to helping like the wrongly prosecuted.
Wow, I love that. Where does that come from?
I also always had like interest in like crime and like helping people like seek justice and things like that, and like everybody having their own like equality and basic human rights. So that's always been something important to me.
Well, it's very nice. And do you have brothers and sisters?
Yes, I have a little sister. She's 15 years old.
Is she as good a person as you, or not so much?
Yes, she is. She's very.
Well, that's going to be hard for her when you go off to school.
Yes. Yeah.
And what's her name? Because I love the name Sierra.
Oh, her name is Brianna.
Wow, very creative.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yes.
Does she want your room?
Yes, she's already planning on, we're already getting a new dresser for her and everything, and she's putting the beds together, so we can have a lot of space. Yeah.
Well, the reason I wanted to talk to you is because we haven't sent a Kid of the Week off to college, I don't think in a very long time, and I know how high you finished in your class. And your teachers all wanted to recommend you for school. I know you played hoops for all 4 years, and I know how busy you are, and I know you're going to be a great attorney. So I just wanted to give you some recognition.
Thank you very much. I really do appreciate it.
And if I ever need you as a lawyer, can I call you?
Yeah, of course you can.
Can I get the corporate discount if it's serious?
I'll think about it.
All right, we'll get back to it. That's my new friend Sierra Johnson. Good kid, huh?
Every time I hear this segment,
I know.
I just feel, like, when I was 17, I had my finger up my nose, and I was watching Porky's. This is a kid who already knows what kind of law she wants to study, what kind of lawyer she wants to be.
Wants to help those wrongly convicted.
Right, and I was waiting for the new Cheech and Chong movie when I was 17. That's what I was doing.
So you mentioned earlier Abigail Grace is a crime fighter, so maybe they could team up together.
Well, here's the story. So yesterday, I'm hanging out with Abigail Grace. You know, we have our afternoons together once a week, and we're having a great time. When she wakes up from a nap, and she's not so crazy about napping anymore. Pops, I'm frustrated.
Did she say that?
Yeah, she's a pops. She's straight. Pops, I'm frustrated. So anyway, we're outside. It's a beautiful day. We're outside. We're standing on the street waiting for her dad, Ross, to come back. And this is a very nice neighborhood. You know, nice residential. Well, not a very nice neighborhood. A nice neighborhood.
I know the area.
You know, residential area, yeah. Right? A car sort of comes to a quick stop. Now, this is a one-way street, like most residential streets in Chicago. Car comes to a quick stop. The reason it stopped is because there's a car backing up towards it super fast. And I think, okay, this idiot's going to try to find a parking space, and he's trying to fast pull into one before the guy behind him takes it. Not so much. He backs over the speed bumps that they have on the street and slams into the car. Hits him. Then he looks at me, he looks at the guy, and he takes off. So, of course, what I do is what all great crime fighters do. I went, hey, stop! I mean, that's how you fight crime.
Sure.
And the minute I said it, I thought, what an idiot. You know, right? So he flies down, you know, the 500 yards or whatever to where the guy is. He's chasing the guy now. And I guess to get his plate number, because the guy stopped for a second, he took off. Well, we find out shortly thereafter that he hit another car down the street. So, a stolen car, who knows, you know, whacked out on the on something, who knows, but it was Abigail's first accident. You never forget your first accident, and I was concerned about her, and she looked at me and she said, Pops, that was loud. So she was very chill about the whole thing. Mm-hmm. But it leads me to this. I think we've got a show, and Nick, it's perfect that you're here today. You can help John and I pitch this.
Yeah
It's Abigail Grace, toddler crime fighter.
Sounds great to me.
Because imagine if she's up on, like, a stool or something, so she's tall enough to tune up a perp. You know, with a swinging light bulb, above him, and just going, don't lie, it's bad to lie. You know, that type of stuff?
Absolutely.
Right? That type of thing?
Accidents are loud.
Accident. She wakes up from her nap, and she always tells me she had a dream about bunnies. How perfect is that for a little girl in particular, but a little kid in general?
And she said, I had a dream, Pops, you were chasing bunnies and you couldn't catch them. I'm thinking, well, that's true. That's absolutely true. Yeah, there's no question I couldn't catch the bunnies. Yeah, Abigail Grace, Toddler Crime Fighter, coming soon.
Yeah.
This feels like a Fox show.
I was just going to say, I think Fox is the way to go.
Yeah. And as far as I'm concerned, she works alone. Because she wouldn't necessarily have a troubled partner, you know, that's sort of louder, you know. And well, maybe a kid from the playground who always wants to hog the swing, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We got to, you know, we'll knuckle this around, see what happens.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea.
Okay. It's that's your kid of the week.
We have to do more than just question Robert Mueller. We have to expose the bias investigation that was run, and we also have to expose the substantial omissions in the Mueller report. There were factual mistakes. For example, people who had ties to the U.S. State Department and Western intelligence were identified as only having ties to Russian intelligence, and there were circumstances where Russians tried to undermine our confidence in our duly elected president by feeding lies into the Steele dossier. Paid for by Democrats.
That's Matt Gaetz, a Florida congressman, one of the truly repugnant people ever elected to Congress. Listen, you'd need the jaws of life to remove his lips from the president's butt at this point. And just one of the problems that need to be dealt with by a completely incompetent Democrat party. Pat Brady joins us. How's that for an intro?
You know, I can't disagree, man. That guy's a goof.
He's just an embarrassment. He's just an absolute embarrassment. All right, so Robert Mueller asked the Justice Department for guidance on his testimony 10 hours. Is it 10 hours? Yeah, it's two separate five-hour sessions, I think, right? Is that right, tomorrow?
It's 3 and 2.
3 and 2. Okay, so it's 5 hours total. Sorry. Tomorrow, he asked for guidance from the DOJ. Not surprisingly, the Department of Justice said, don't tell them anything. Nothing. You know nothing. It seems like an odd process because... he's not an employee of the DOJ anymore, so explain.
I'm guessing that he feels still bound by the restrictions he would have, having been the special counsel. It's like any case I would have had years ago where I had grand jury information. I wouldn't feel that I could talk about it. And I think what he did yesterday, he made that request to get the Justice Department to say stay on the four corners of the document, which he said he was going to do anyway. So when he gets stupid questions like he's going to get from people on both sides of the aisle, hypotheticals and things like that, he just says, no, it's in the report, here's what we did. And I just think it gives him an out. And he's going to answer it once or twice, and that'll be the end of it.
But one of the points that is made in the DOJ letter is executive privilege. He's not bound by executive privilege. He never worked for the president.
Right, but I think what it does is...
Or worked with the president. Technically, he worked for the president.
But he learned things in the course of that investigation that could potentially be covered. And had he said he was going to go beyond the report, we wouldn't be having a hearing tomorrow. We'd be in court right now.
Well, this is the great problem, right? Because for a country that believes that there is no right or wrong anymore, there's just politics, there's a potential after the Mueller testimony tomorrow that things are going to be worse.
Potentially. If the Democrats lay it out right, and I'm going through my second read of the report, there's a lot of bad conduct in there, particularly by the Russians and by the Trump campaign. And if they can get the American public to see and understand what it is, I think that they can make some political points. But the reality is that they're never going to move for impeachment. Even if they do move to impeach him, the impeachment won't make it through the Senate. So it'll be a 9-month exercise and just kind of a waste of time. They're trying to move the needle, and the thing that really bothers me is the clip you played on the way in, talking about the process and Mueller and what happened. They didn't do anything wrong here. This is a very good report, in my opinion, and to take the strategy of we're just going to go after Mueller, I mean, it just cheapens the whole process, and I think makes them look foolish.
Well, and that's what's gone on now for, 3 years almost? The trashing of our institutions that risk their lives every day to protect us, and the trashing of someone who has dedicated his entire life, professional life, to serving this country, including risking his life in Vietnam. So if you're Mueller, and I ask you, the President of the United States, as recently as yesterday, says you're conflicted, says your people were incompetent hacks, and repeatedly calls this a witch hunt. Is it a witch hunt? What's his answer?
Well, he can answer that question by just staying on what he did in the report, which is actually in the report, the number of subpoenas, the number of witness interviews, the number of documents that they reviewed. And no, this was not a witch hunt. And just look, just read the first portion of that on the Russian, what the Russians were doing. The Russian, this was a counterintelligence investigation, and his report in the report clearly shows they were trying to meddle in the election long before Trump was even a nominee and long before Robert Mueller was ever appointed the special counsel. So I think he can answer those questions just staying on the document. And, you know, at some point, Stephen, you're dealing with a guy like Trump. He's so outrageous and in a lot of respects not real bright with the stuff. You just got to ignore him, because if you respond to him, and I think the Democrats make this mistake, it makes you look goofy.
But by the same token, this is Robert Mueller's last chance to present Robert Mueller's case. We know what we know, and we know that the 535, I think you told me the other day, maybe 15 or 20 members of Congress actually read the report. That should be enough, by the way, to lose your job, but we don't live in that world. And most of America hasn't read the report, so they've dealt with whatever news source they use for the report. So if I'm Robert Mueller, and I don't know the man, I've never met the man, but based on his life of service, I understand his dedication to the chain of command. But having said that, this is his reputation. These are his people, and he has a moment tomorrow to respond to being trashed the way he's been trashed for the last 2 years. Why wouldn't he do it?
A couple things. He has actually. I watched some of his testimony. They had a bunch of clips of it. He's testified 88 times in front of Congress. So some of these guys think they're going to trip him up. They're wrong. Plus, he's a super bright guy. And he will respond forcefully to certain questions. But you got to remember, he's still, this is not like Ken Starr. He actually works for the Justice Department. And his boss in this is the Attorney General. And he's a guy, he's a Marine, and respects the chain of command. So he may not feel as much as he wants to that he can do that. But again, he can answer all these questions and answer them very well and quiet everybody down just by staying on the report. I think that's what he'll do tomorrow.
This letter seems to indicate that he wouldn't answer the big question, the money shot, and that is, if not for this policy, not a law, a policy by the Justice Department that's never been court tested, that a sitting president can't be indicted. If somebody tomorrow, and they will, says, Mr. Mueller, if not for this policy, based on the evidence you accumulated, would you pursue obstruction against Donald Trump? He won't answer that, will he?
No, he won't answer that, but there is a way he can answer that and get the facts into where that he discovered his investigation, and he's not going to answer any hypotheticals. If anybody poses a hypothetical, they'll do it once. I think he's going to say, I'm not answering hypotheticals. But he can lay out, yeah, that's why I decided not to charge him, but here's the evidence that we did find, and we certainly didn't exonerate him. Now, he's getting a lot of criticism from people for putting that sentence in there about we couldn't indict him because of the OLC rule or the Justice Department rule, but we certainly didn't exonerate him. And if you go in there and he lays out the elements of what obstruction is, and there are at least five instances where he finds that all the elements of obstruction of justice by Donald Trump and his campaign have been established in this report. So again, he can do it if he uses what's in the report. He can answer that question without violating the rules that he's supposed to follow.
His boss was the Attorney General. He's not his boss anymore. We're way late here, but I got to ask you this. At any point tomorrow, does he address the way Barr has characterized things and mischaracterized the report completely?
Yeah, he can probably do that by staying on the report and saying what's in the report is not what Attorney General said. And if you read the report, I went back and watched the Attorney General clip yesterday. The Attorney General of the United States got up and misled the American public as to the contents of the report. Plain and simple, not even a close call.
Yeah, and look, the Attorney General in all of Republican Congress, with only two or three exceptions, is in the tank for Donald Trump. Being the smart guy that he is, he knows that. And even though he did the right thing legally by turning it over to Congress, he also now knows officially Congress will do nothing. That can't be easy to live with.
No, it's weird. There's a lot of things that have happened with the Trump administration and things that people are doing on the Republican side that I don't understand why. They're very loyal to him. And maybe I think down the road, the Republican Party is going to really pay for it.
Pat Brady will be on Channel 9 tomorrow at various times. Watch the coverage there, and then you'll come in and talk to us on Thursday.
Absolutely. And it's Ray Rayner's 100th birthday today, Steve. I want you to mark that, please.
Oh, I'm sure Dean Richards will. Thank you, bud.
See you guys.
We'll be back with the news in a moment from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.
Fact or fiction, fact or fiction. The simple game show calls a mass addiction.
312-981-7200. We got a round of one here. Let's play one quick fact or fiction.
Sure, you got it.
Super tight on time. As a matter of fact, we had to bump Pat Tomasulo. Well, he get canceled. We can't really put people on shows canceled. No, Pat will be back to talk about where Man of the People will live soon. In the meantime, let's get a caller, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. Time to play Fact or Fiction. Would you like to throw a sample question at Dave and I?
Sure.
And Mary and Steve.
That's fine. Here we go. Elephants make friends, bury their dead, and travel for funerals. Fact or Fiction?
They make friends, they bury their own dead, and they travel
for funerals.
For funerals.
But this is, it's all or nothing.
It's right. All.
It's
or
not
nothing.
Like they do make friends, but they don't travel for their friend's
right.
Funeral.
It's all. I say all it's, of that combined.
I say it's fact.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with that.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody agrees, fact?
Yeah, I see fact too, although the burying the part, that may be the only part that gives me the fiction part of it.
No, it's all a fact. All right. It is all a fact. And I wouldn't split it up that way. Correct. So that's a good point, Dave. Wait a minute. Everything, but it's true. It's
Let's
true.
Go to Terry in Arlington Heights. John, go ahead. Terry, how are
Hi,
you today?
Hi, Terry.
Hello.
Here you go, Terry. The term Bluetooth is named after a 10th century king named King Harold Bluetooth.
Fiction.
That's got to be fiction. That's nonsense.
Dave?
Has to be fiction.
No, that's an absolute fact.
What?
Yeah,
what?
Yeah the Bluetooth.
Yes. Well, what that's kind right. of crazy? Yeah, good job, Terry, changing your answer now. Terry, you've won anyway. Just because I don't like the question.
That's terrible.
I've got a...
Blue beard, maybe blue beard, not blue tooth.
Okay, don't hurt your cause. I have a MyPillow for you. It's the most comfortable pillow you'll ever own. Go to MyPillow.com and use the promo code WGN. Thanks for listening, man. I appreciate it.
Lady Bluetooth was a patron of the arts.
It doesn't make it any better.
Did she have a blue tooth?
All right, you two talk off the air. It's 7:19. We'll come back with the MVPP on the way.
The Steve Cochran Show presents the most valuable person on the planet. The MVPP is sponsored by MegaPros. They make it fun to get stuff done.
And now it's time to move on to a little something we call...
The most valuable person on the planet.
Juan Hernandez is the director of Alicia's House. Alicia's House provides food at no cost to low-income residents of Crete, Beecher, Stager, Monee, University Park, South Chicago Heights. They got a golf outing coming up to raise some money for the cause. Let's say hi to Juan here and tell Juan the good news. Juan, on top of all of this, you're the most valuable person on the planet.
Hey, I don't know about all that, but we're just trying to make a difference here. How you all doing this morning?
We're doing great. Why do you call it Alicia's House?
Well, that's a great, great question. So Alicia was my granddaughter, and the food pantry was started in her honor. So when she was born, my wife used to watch her every day and carry her in her little carrier to the church food pantry. So she grew up in the church food pantry. And when she was old enough to walk and do things, she would help her grandma pack those bags, and she would usually put a little special treat in there, which was usually candy, so that every little kid could have what she had. And when she was 4 years old, she was killed in a tragic house accident. So we didn't know what to do. We were pretty devastated at that time. You know, the loss of a child or a grandchild is something that just is beyond.
I can't begin to say how sorry I am. And I wanted you to tell the story because I want people to understand the impact and what a personal thing this is. And this is not something you need to do. This is something you want to do to honor the memory of your granddaughter, but also to help people. And I think that's pretty special.
Absolutely. You know, it's pretty amazing what the Silver Food Pantry has done. You know, like you said, it's a great thing for the community, but also a great thing to help my family heal.
Alicia's House, celebrity golf outing, dinner, auctions, coming up Saturday, September 14th. Where are you playing?
Well, we're playing at Lincolnshire Country Club in Crete.
Are you a player?
I am not. You know, I broke my neck in 93, so I cannot twist my head or that anymore. So I'm a watcher.
Well, you know what? In some cases, even the players ought to be watchers. And some days that even includes me. Juan Hernandez, you're a good man. If we want to help Alicia's House, what's the best way to do it, to find out about the golf outing or to donate or whatever?
Well, you can come to our website, www.aliciashouse.org, or catch us on Facebook, and it'll lead you to the donation, all the information you need.
All right. It's going to be special award presentations at the dinner, too. You're going to want to be a part of that. God bless you and your family, man.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
There you go. Juan Hernandez. Been through more in his lifetime than 10 people ought to go through. But what a wonderful tribute. So, Blackhawks defenseman Connor Murphy coming up. Senator Durbin coming up. 727 now. The Steve Cochran Show, number 1416, continues for your dining and dancing pleasure on 720 WGN next.
The Hawks get it back. Strome into the Canadiens on right side. Murphy at five. Shoots and scores! Connor Murphy catches that pass as he moves in from his point position. And it looked like it hit him in the skate. He kicked it to a stick and he snapped it into the top right corner. Pass, Carey Price. It's 1-0 Hawks.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Convention this weekend. This weekend. Blackhawks convention. And there's still a couple of tickets left, which is amazing to me. I think people just assume I can't get them, so I'm not going to jump on Blackhawks.com and get them. We can get them. But I mean, I'd do it now. I don't know if there's any hotel rooms left. Probably not, but I mean, why not look? So yep. We're going to be there. You and I will do the opening ceremonies on the radio. I'll probably sing a couple of numbers.
That's always one of the highlights of the opening ceremonies.
And then afterwards, I will co-host with Adam Burrish the Blackhawks Variety Show with players and fans. We're going to do a couple game shows. And give away some stuff.
Fact or fiction? Fun.
What? No, that's copywritten.
Okay.
Yeah, can't do that. Connor Murphy joins us. Good morning, sir.
Hey, what's up? How you guys doing?
Good. How you been?
Good, thanks. Yeah, I heard you hyped up the convention a bit. We're excited. It's, I believe, just to give you a little plug, there are some hotel packages left. So there's your, yeah, there's your insight.
Well, that's good. And I understand that you, being the full-service guy you are, you're going to valet park for fans when they come in. Is that right?
Yeah. I mean, the summer jobs are always something I'm looking for. So the caddying at the courses, it gets a little tiring, so I got to valet a bit.
Always got to have a backup plan. Listen, last time we talked, I told you got to be healthy. We need you. You got to be healthy. And I suggested you wrap yourself in bubble wrap for the time being in the offseason. I'm told you're feeling great.
Yeah, feeling really good. I've been training with Paulie Goodman, our strength coach, here at our practice strength all summer. And I got home to Columbus, my hometown, for a month or so right after the season to regroup a bit. And just been, going Monday to Friday, feeling really good. And the thing with him is he has a lot of good workouts that keep you healthy and get you feeling athletic and strong and not risking any injury with too many unsafe exercises. So it's stuff that definitely enjoy, and you definitely get excited. It's a long summer. I feel like we've been at too long already.
Connor, did you look at last year once you came back from your surgery and were healthy? Was it kind of a breakthrough year for you?
A little bit. I think even just I felt like as my career's gone along, I felt like I've gotten better toward the latter part and feel like I have a lot of room to improve, and especially just getting traded a year and a half ago, coming on a new team, it's definitely was an adjustment to kind of get comfortable and kind of get a role established, and just felt like I was able to contribute to that a little bit the second half of this year after coming off that injury. But that just makes me even more excited to keep going and try to push and show the player that I believe I can be.
We got a couple of big defenseman ads in the offseason. Do you know those guys?
Yeah, I was just playing against them. I don't know them personally. Just know that they've had success. Ole Mata's won a cup with Pittsburgh, and Calvin DeHaan, I've always loved the way he plays. He's a really smart defender and can kind of contribute to the penalty kill and do a lot of different things that way. So to have guys that are experienced and kind of know how the game works and been able to prove themselves in the NHL for a while, it'll definitely help a lot.
What's the one part of your game that you think you really need to improve on going into this season?
I don't know. I think there's a more of a defensive-minded player, so probably just things on puck play, just whether it's skating up and making plays, passing to forwards or joining the rush or even making reads that way is something that I've been working on a little bit this summer, just being a little more defensive minded and sometimes thinking a little too much defense first, maybe. But it's there's always things that you're wanting to grow and add into your game. So there's a lot of things I watch and work on, and just know that with time, certain things continue to evolve.
On paper, this is the Stanley Cup champion. I mean, yeah, you guys did so much adding. Dave, I don't know if you know this, but Stan actually blew out his telephone dialing hand for all the deals that he made. But we have two A-flight starting goalies. You got the upgrades and the inclusions on defense. We still got the scoring up front. I mean, man, this looks like such a fun season. But you know what? Let me throw a cliche in here, Connor. You don't play the games on paper. You play them on ice.
Yeah, it's true. It's something you look at a lot of teams. I mean, look at teams that lost the first round of the playoffs this past year. Tampa Bay had one of the best records in history of the regular season, and they lost in the first round. So it's something that it's not just about having the players and the talent. It's just it's about kind of bringing together that character and that desire to win any time of the year. So that's stuff that definitely comes along. That's why you play 82 games to develop different parts of your team games for things that hopefully come together and have playoff runs. But yeah, it's definitely exciting. You can't look too far ahead, but bringing good players in and obviously character exciting players like Andrew Shaw too back. I know a lot of people are going nuts to see everyone back in action.
Yeah, Shawzy will be fun for you. I mean, you and Chaz, yeah. I think, will have fun, have a good time together. We're going to see you this weekend. The best way for fans to approach you is to not look you directly in the eye and bow in front of you. Is that right?
Yeah, no. The convention especially is fun. I think that's what's great. It would be interactive, meeting a lot of the fans that come out. That's what I think is cool for everyone to see the guys and realize how down to earth. I mean, meeting guys. I remember when I came, meeting guys like Taze and Kaner and Dunks and Seeds and Crow and all these guys are legends in the game that are so friendly and they want to get to know people and the fans, and I think that's what makes it special.
You never hear about some incident where a member of the Chicago Blackhawks was rude to a fan. I mean, these guys just get it, and Connor Murphy's one of the most approachable guys in the league. Anyway, great talking to you, man. Really looking forward to seeing you this weekend.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Appreciate it, guys.
There you go.
Thanks.
Connor Murphy.
Yep.
Tall, handsome, good-looking defenseman. I think he's going to have a big year.
I think so, too. Good guy, too. Mm-hmm. And nice to see him healthy.
And great that he's valet parking cars. Right?
Yeah, well, it's not.
Stepping up for the
team.
You know,
these are full-service hockey players.
There's no question. Senator Durbin, in a moment.
No, I'm not going to be watching. Probably. Maybe I'll see a little bit of it. I'm not going to be watching Mueller. Because you can't take all those bites out of the apple. We had no collusion, no obstruction. We had no nothing. We had a total no collusion finding.
Apparently, in a deal with America's fruit producers, bites out of the apple is the new Republican talking point in the last 24 hours. Lindsey Graham dropped it, a few others, and, of course, the president there. Senator Durbin joins us. Good morning, sir.
How you doing, Steve?
Well, I'm doing fine. Many things to talk to you about. I know you were very pleased to see the White Sox put the netting up. Does Congress play any role in this, to making sure all MLB teams do it, or are they private companies?
It's really a decision by Major League Baseball and its owners. Major League Baseball has been encouraging netting for several years. Hats off to Jerry Reinsdorf and the White Sox for stepping up. I think the first and highest priority is the safety of fans. 3-1, they believe that netting makes it a safer place to watch a ball game. And as one person, there are some critics, of course, but as one person said, you know, if you're 6 or 7 rows back from that netting, you don't even notice it. And for years, the best seats in the place, in the stadium, were behind netting, and nobody complained about it at all.
Yeah.
Let's make it safe to bring your kids and grandkids there.
I've been lucky to sit in good seats like that behind netting. You don't notice it. I mean, you really don't.
No, of course not.
Boris Johnson is the new UK prime minister. Before we all panic and run into the streets going, now we've lost the UK, what do we know?
Well, we know that when he gets together with President Trump, it will be a meeting of historic hairdos. And I don't know if a policy will emerge, but they seem
to have a policy on their hair.
That's right. they seem shouldn't have the same brand of politics. And I don't think that Boris Johnson is a magician, and he's going to inherit the problems that his predecessor had when it comes to Brexit. There are certain elements that are very, very difficult to reconcile. Scotland is not all that happy with the outcome with Brexit and may move toward independence. Northern Ireland does not want a hard border with Ireland itself. And those are the two dilemmas that his predecessor faced, and he's going to face too.
The UK needs the United States. The United States needs the UK. Is this some weird confluence of events where because Trump and Boris Johnson share some characteristics, maybe they can work together?
I don't know. These two are...
Well, that's how desperate I'm getting, Senator. I'm trying to find any reason for people to get along.
I know. I don't know Mr. Johnson as well as I've come to know the president, and I don't know what they could agree on. The president has been a cheerleader for Brexit, but it is virtually impossible to see an outcome which is positive for the United Kingdom, from where I'm sitting. So I think Boris Johnson has just a few months left to prove otherwise.
We've got kids who are innocent, regardless of whether or not their parents were in this country illegally or not, who still have not been reunited with their parents. Do we know how many kids are in that circumstance?
We don't. We know that, there were several phases of this. In the phase that was monitored by the federal court, 2,880 children were toddlers, infants, children separated from their parents with no bureaucratic tracing. And so they were just cast adrift until the court required the Department of Homeland Security to find their parents. They never found them all. Some of them were sent back to their countries with loose instruction that the kids would follow, and they never did. So we continue to have this problem. We can do better, for goodness sakes, in this age of computers and all of the information available to us, and artificial intelligence, and you name it. The fact that we can't keep track of kids and parents at the border is unforgivable. It's inhumane.
Yeah, and again, it's children. These children have done nothing. Nothing. And the idea that I could have lost two bags and had three flights canceled last Thursday at O'Hare, had one bag fly to New York without me, the other one still at O'Hare, and I get both of them back within 3 days, and they can't put kids back with their families? It's ridiculous.
No excuse. Let me tell you one thing I want to share with your listeners. In all of the depressing experiences which we had in our visit to the border, there were a few rays of hope, and one of them was a woman named Sister Norma, who runs Catholic Charities in McAllen, Texas. This woman is an extraordinary Catholic nun who literally helps thousands of these people come finally through this process and find a caring group of volunteers and others who are there by their side as they try to determine the next step. A fellow named Ruben Garcia at Annunciation Project in El Paso the same. So as we've seen so many exhibitions of inhumane conduct and meanness, it's good to know that these two, Sister Norma and Ruben Garcia, are doing their part to give these people humane treatment in the United States.
Well, God bless both of them. Another Democratic debate in a couple of weeks. I frankly find the ongoing discussions of 2020 pretty tedious, considering what we're in the middle of. However, it's a relevant topic. And can you explain in any way, shape, or form, after all your years, why the Democrats are so bad at marketing and why this is just looks like a big inner fight when the majority of the country is looking for an alternative?
You remember the old cliche, Will Rogers, I don't belong to any organized political party, I'm a Democrat. There are times when our people get together, and in this case 24, 25 of them, I lose count, and they have a different view on the future of this country, and that's different. I mean, that's important, and I'm glad that they express themselves. I want to make sure that we keep ourselves grounded in the world of reality, though. Voters are listening a little bit, not as closely as they will in the months to come, and I hope that they hear from us some practical solutions to deal with the problems that their families face. You know, when you ask people point blank, what do you worry about? I'm worried about paying for my kids' college. I'm worried about the cost of prescription drugs. I'm worried about living to be 95 and not having enough retirement to cover that period of my life. You know, these are the practical things that people think about, and we'd better address them.
The bare minimum standards of what we expect a president to be have not been met by the current occupant of the White House. Tomorrow, Bob Mueller will face about 5 hours of questioning in the House. And aside from the pontificating that too many Republicans and Democrats do when they have their 5 minutes, some important questions will be asked. What's your level of optimism that we'll get anything out of this?
listen, I know Bob Mueller, and I've worked with him for years and years, and I have the highest regard for him. He is not a political figure. He is a competent legal professional. He handled the inquiry that he was assigned in that fashion. I knew he would. His report is extensive and detailed, and I'm sure he will get into some of that detail. But if people are expecting some political breakthrough here or some big revelation, I don't think that's what's in the cards. What is more likely is he will address the fundamental, the basic that you started the program with, and that is whether this president was found innocent of obstruction and collusion. I know he wasn't, and Mueller's report said he wasn't. The report said the Department of Justice said we don't prosecute a sitting president, so we're not going to suggest that. But they certainly did not exonerate him.
And pardon that other audio. I don't know where that came from. I mentioned this earlier, a couple of questions that come up, but I'll leave you with this. Just as a man and as someone who's given most of his life to this country professionally and someone who risked his life in Vietnam for this country and did it proudly and has never asked for attention, he took on this job and a responsibility that came with this job. He said, I'm going to turn it over to Congress because that's what I should do based on what I know. We now know what the Congress, what Congress is doing, specifically the Republican Party. Does that change his outlook tomorrow? I'm not asking him to save the nation, but there are things that he maybe could say tomorrow, now knowing that the Republicans are going to do nothing.
Well, it's possible. I think his letter to Attorney General Barr suggesting that the first characterization of his report was not accurate is an indication that he wants to stick to the letter of that report. And I think tomorrow the American people will see this man. You know, he's not had a PR machine during this whole thing. And he's been up against a president who must have said witch hunt 1,000 times. And I think tomorrow you're going to see a solid professional deliver a report that he was asked to deliver for the good of this country. And I think many people will, it'll be a revelation to them what's included.
What's your biggest concern in the Senate today?
Oh, we've got a lot of concerns, but the first and foremost is to make sure that we end up with a process that does not shut down our government again, that we pay our debts as promised with the national debt ceiling. Fundamentals that used to be taken for granted, we now have to work hard to achieve.
It seems weird that the Democrats have to catch up to the Republicans in spending. It's just kind of the upside-down world we're living in, huh?
Well, it reflects, Steve, the Bush tax cuts piled on the Trump tax cuts at the highest levels of income.
Yeah, somebody's got to pay for this.
Making inequality worse, and ultimately our kids and grandkids face the bill for it.
75 and sunny in Chicago today. Are you in D.C.?
I am.
Well, you're missing it. I would suggest you come home and just stand outside and go, this is where I should be.
Can't wait to get back.
All the best. Thanks for the time.
See
is that the high today? I think I'm right about that, isn't it? 75?
Something
80.
Like
yeah, 80. It feels great outside.
I think lakefront.
Every break I wander outside, and we're on the 18th floor, so I know you worry about me.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, thanks, Senator Durbin, for the access, as always. And the governor is welcome here as well, though the governor at this point has decided not to do any interviews. And we're not quite sure why. Show number 1416 continues. Follow me on Twitter at Cochran Show, Facebook.com, and everything else social media-wise. Steve Cochran Show. We're back with the news in a moment from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah,
it's Moron Entertainment, sponsored by Ravinia. Let's go to Channel 9, where my fellow moron, Dean Richards, is standing by. That's a big day.
Ravinia.
That's a big day. This is a birthday of one of your favorite clowns.
Well, not really a clown.
Right. And I screwed that up, huh?
Not exactly.
Oh, it was Ray Rayner.
It was Ray Rayner, who's best known for the Ray Rayner morning show that he did.
That's my point.
Ray Rayner show. But he did play Oliver O'Oliver, who was a sidekick to Bozo the Clown.
Yeah, that's probably what I meant.
That's what you meant.
In all likelihood.
who told you who Ray Rayner was? I hear a John DeCoste laughing. That must be it.
No. Who brought it up? Somebody brought it up earlier when Nick was here. I don't remember.
Nick DiGiulio brought it up. But you actually brought it up. You said it was his birthday today.
Yeah.
He would have been
birthday.
100 years old today.
Yeah. How about that? You met him, right?
Many times. Very nice man. Very talented man.
Any stories you could tell on the air?
You know, nothing of significance, no crazy stories or anything like
that. Is the off-air stuff really good if people run into you?
He was just a very nice, affable, very nice man.
Dean, was his set the same place as Bozo Circus?
Yeah, Studio One.
Studio One?
Famous Studio One here where they did Bozo, where they did Garfield Goose. We have a big plaque on that studio now, designating it a historic place, because we can just designate stuff when you put a plaque on it.
If you get a chance to take a tour of Channel 9, and God knows you should, and you go through that first studio, it smells of clown. There's still some clown residue in there.
Some clown, it does.
Mm-hmm. There's no question. And by the way, it's Bring Your Own Big Shoes. That voice you heard was John DeCoss, who is an apprentice moron for Moron Entertainment.
I'm working extra on this, too.
I don't think anyone should take a deep breath like that when you say that.
No, you should just say thank you and be a moron.
Oh, I apologize. Thank you. Whatever.
Whatever. You know, I do have one. It's not like a scandalous celebrity story, but Ray Rayner was a fighter pilot during World War II. He was a B-17 navigator. He was shot down over France, and he spent 2.5 years as a prisoner of war.
I didn't know any of that.
During World War II.
Wow.
Yeah, he's a war hero.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Now, what did he do before he got into television?
I don't know. I think he was pretty much in television the whole time.
Is that right?
He did the dance shows. He was a DJ.
It's just not your normal post-war path, you know what I mean?
Right. Normally, you don't go from a POW camp to hosting a Popeye's Firehouse show.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Right. He did a morning TV show. He did several children's shows. But his biggest claim to fame is when he came to WGN in 1961. He was Oliver O'Oliver on the Bozo show. He had his own. He hosted his own Dick Tracy show,
yep,
in which he was Sergeant Henry Pettibone, and they would show Dick Tracy cartoons and talk with a dog puppet. John, I want to say the dog's name was Tracer.
I think you're right. With the Sherlock Holmes hat on?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think you are right. And, it's weird. I just saw him, I think it's a clip on YouTube. He did weather like 20 years after that on NBC or something?
When he retired from WGN, he went to, I believe, Albuquerque, and he was a TV weatherman in his retirement.
How cool is that?
Yeah.
Who's your favorite of all the clown people?
I have no favorites of them, Steve. I love them all equally.
Who's your least favorite, the one that was really difficult to work with?
I love them all equally.
Who's the biggest clown diva?
Well, that would be you.
Well done. Well done. Coming up, Bohemian Rhapsody, Matt Damon and Ben Affleck. Reunited and it feels... somebody stop me, really. Somebody jump in.
Would you be Peaches or would you be her?
Oh, I'm definitely Peaches. ASAP Rocky. For those of you who think this all sounds like a Rosetta Stone tape, these are actually stories. The number one movie of all time. And I've got my Swifties meeting. I'm in charge of the Western Suburbs Taylor Swift fan club, the Swifties. And I've got my Swifties meeting at my treehouse coming up. So we'll talk about that as well. All on the way.
You'll be calling his name. Oh, 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 oh. Dean Richard, the entertainment editor, Channel 9.
825. Dean, we have a listener calling in with a Ray Rayner story.
Oh, oh, good.
Bonnie, what's your Ray Rayner story?
Hi, guys.
Hi.
I just want to let you guys know, when you were talking about Ray Rayner and being in a prisoner of war camp,
mm-hmm,
he was part of the movie The Great Escape. That movie was a real-life story, and he was part of that situation.
Is that right?
Right.
Wow.
I'd heard that.
Yes, that is true.
I did not know that.
I'm sorry?
I did not know that. You know, Dean was part of the movie Porky's. It's a totally different thing.
I don't like to brag.
Different story. Oh, thank you, Bonnie. That's a good story. Thank you very much.
Wow.
So Great Escape, based on a true story, I guess, huh? Dean?
That's I had heard that story also, yes.
I'm trying to remember The Prisoner with a Duck, but I don't remember The Prisoner with a Duck.
I want to say, I thought I heard a story that the name of the camp, the prisoner of war camp that he was in, or somebody that he knew there, something, there was some Chelveston reference to some of that, and that was the name of the duck, his pet duck, Steve, that he had.
Oh, so that's why he tied it back in together.
On the show.
Yeah. Oh, very
you should have a pet duck.
Yeah, well, I did. I can't talk about it.
Delicious with orange sauce.
There's no question. Bohemian Rhapsody, what do you got?
The video has now become the oldest song ever on YouTube to hit the 1 billion view mark.
All right, so let's wrap that around again one more time. It's the oldest song to hit the 1 billion view mark. In other words, a song from the 70s.
It has been the song, the video, Bohemian Rhapsody by Queen, has been viewed a billion times. It's the oldest song to achieve that mark ever in the history of YouTube.
Wow. We've actually reached a point where we're citing YouTube records and stuff, huh?
It's the world that we kids live in, Steve.
No doubt about it.
We kids, we love it.
What's this Matt Damon, Ben Affleck situation?
They are reunited. It's been 22 years since they've worked together.
22 years? What was the last movie?
And the movie that they're writing a movie together.
What was the last movie they were in together?
Good Will Hunting.
That's the only movie they did?
I can believe so, yeah.
You like apples? How about these apples?
Wow.
Well, that's interesting. What's this new movie?
They're adapting a novel that's called The Last Duel.
Okay.
So they're writing it. Ridley Scott will direct it, and they will star in it.
Think it's any good? Why don't you pre-review it? Why don't you start a new thing where you pre-review movies?
I was captivated by it.
Or?
Much better than the prequel.
You should do a multiple choice review. I either loved it, didn't love it, or wished I hadn't seen it.
Now, if you listen to most critics, that's pretty much how they do their reviews anyway.
That way?
Yeah.
You want to trash any of them, or are you good?
Not today.
Okay.
When you hear me trash someone, you'll know that's my last day.
A$AP Rocky is a rapper.
He is.
And his mother is now speaking out. Is she A$AP Mommy?
A$AP Mom is very upset about her A$AP son, who's in jail in Sweden. He and some of his peeps got arrested there. They got into a fight. They say it was self-defense. But Swedish prosecutors there are investigating. And yesterday, what happened was the guy who, according to videos that were shot of this, the guy who appears to have started the fight got released by police. But A$AP Rocky and his people are still in jail. A$AP's mother got involved yesterday. She spoke out to TMZ saying that she thinks that this is completely a race issue.
Hmm.
Prosecutors there are giving till Thursday to either press charges or let them go. As I told you yesterday, President Trump got involved at the bequest.
Being a big A$AP Rocky fan.
Right. The Secretary of Rappers that we now have in our government, Kanye West, called the president directly and asked him to intervene in this. And the Swedish Prime Minister told him that he doesn't get involved in their judicial system.
Kanye West also said, get him out as soon as you possibly can.
Yeah, because it's A$AP Rocky.
Oh, I didn't put that together.
No, I didn't think you did. I have to say that, I don't get a chance to say positive things about the president very often, but I think we all remember when he stood up for Millie and Vanilli when we found out the truth. All right, what's this all-time best movie, most money at the box office controversy?
Yesterday, I told you that the Avengers Endgame movie became the biggest box office movie of all time, made the most money of any movie. It surpassed Avatar and Titanic over the weekend, taking in $2.8 billion. So people ask me all the time, are there other movies with today's money? If box office numbers were adjusted for inflation, what would actually be the number one movie? And somebody did that yesterday, and it turns out that it would be Gone with the Wind. That still would be the number one movie. It came out in 1939 and still would be the number one movie. It has taken in inflation adjusted $3.4 billion.
How about that?
Like way past Avengers, Avatar, Star Wars, you name it.
Pardon the stupid question, but did Vivian Leigh make a lot more movies after that, big movies? I know she had a lot of personal issues.
Not big movies like that. She was in some movies after that, but nothing compared to Gone with the Wind.
Isn't one of the actresses still alive?
Oh, boy. I don't know.
Olivia. Isn't Olivia de Havilland?
Olivia de Havilland.
Olivia de Havilland. She's 101, 102. Yeah. I think she's still alive.
She is. She's in her 100s.
Let's bring her on. There she is right now.
Well, give her time. This is not exactly ASAP Rocky. She's 102.
She played Melanie.
Oh, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The sweet one.
Big controversy about this film now. It has been pulled from a number of film festivals because of what people are describing as racial insensitivity in the movie.
In Gone with the Wind.
Well, it's set in the Civil War.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was a lot of racial insensitivity in the 1860s.
Yeah, so... I think people are concerned with the demeaning way in which black people were dealt with in the movie. Again, it was
history.
Set during the Civil War.
Yeah.
But that black people are called darkies, and I mean, there's
that's lot. Definitely the worst part of what happened to black people in the 1800s. People have lost their minds. What's the Taylor Swift story?
Taylor Swift is her fans actually are in the news. Kamala Harris appeared at a fundraiser with the music mogul Scooter Braun over the weekend. He's Justin Bieber's, Ariana Grande, Katy Perry's managers. He handles all of them, and he held a big fundraiser for Kamala Harris, who has set off outrage on the part of you Swifties, you Taylor Swift fans,
like me.
Because Taylor Swift a couple of weeks ago slammed this guy Scooter Braun because he purchased her early music library. It somehow was available. He purchased it. Taylor Swift didn't like it. Spoke very begrudgingly against this guy.
So she doesn't think Kamala Harris should be hanging out
by means of association. Taylor Swift hasn't said anything about this.
No,
but the fans are, been making a lot of noise on social media against Kamala Harris because she has aligned herself with an enemy of Taylor Swift.
Well, I remember during the debate when Kamala Harris said there was a little girl who was riding on a bus listening to Taylor Swift, and that little girl was me. And I'm going, how could that be? You're 50. That doesn't even make sense. The math doesn't even work out.
And she sat on that bus looking out the window with sad eyes. Haters gonna hate.
Exactly. The world's lost its mind, and we cover it daily on Moron Entertainment. How are things at Channel 9 today? Everybody okay?
I got a text, Steve, regarding our Ray Rayner conversation, who would have been 100 years old today.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody said that he was in the movie that we were talking about a couple of minutes ago. He was not actually in the movie, but the Great Escape was based on his actual situation that they made a movie on. He was actually not in the motion picture. He was a POW on which the movie was based.
And I got a helpful texter as well that said Kevin Smith and Ben Affleck did Dogma 2 years after Good Will Hunting.
Well, that would explain why nobody knows it.
Bye now. Headlines next at 720 WGN.
Fact or fiction, fact or fiction. The simple game show calls a mass addiction. To cause we'll write the fake one. Make your choice and then the game's done.
312-981-7200. You want to play Fact or Fiction? Get in line for prizes right now. It's very simple. John will give you a fact that could be a fact or it might be fiction. Make the right call, win. Make the wrong call, possibly still win, depending on you on the phone. 312-981-7200 is the number. John and I are still working on, Dave, our brand-new show with Abigail Grace called Toddler Crime Fighter.
I think it's got all kinds of possibilities.
Yesterday in a Chicago neighborhood where my son and daughter-in-law and soon-to-be grandson, like any second now, live. And obviously, Abigail as well. Abigail and I are hanging out. We're waiting outside. A guy throws his car into reverse. He's going back very fast. I mean, picture any street in Chicago, residential street. You don't fly into reverse over those speed bumps, right? Slams into a car and then takes off and hits another car. I, of course, employed the long-standing number one crime-fighting technique myself in a way to stop him. Because after he hit the first car and took off, I said, and I'm telling you, remember this, it's important. Hey, stop! By the way, they didn't. He didn't. The guy.
How do you know where to put the inflection
good,
on that?
Good question.
You got to have some experience. But I think it was very direct when I said, hey, stop, that I was not fooling around.
No,
I meant business.
I would stop.
I would stop.
Hey, stop!
So you found out he hit another car.
I watched it.
Okay,
was a witness.
Okay, but was he?
No one was hurt.
Was he apprehended?
Not by the time I left. The original driver, I went up and said, "Hey, do you listen to the show?" That's probably not important right now. I said, "Hey, here's." I said, "Here's my number. If you need me to verify that, you know, this guy did this to you." But, I mean, if it was a stolen car, and this isn't a neighborhood for stolen cars, but it's Chicago. Anything's possible. If it was a stolen car, the genius probably ditched the car, right? But if he was running into two cars for whatever reason, they got his plate number. You could just run the plates on a car.
I was thinking of the name for that show.
Toddler Crime Fighter?
Abducted. Possible.
No. Yeah, but then we'd have to probably limit the crimes.
That's true.
We talked about this earlier. Again, the scene I'm seeing, and we're just working this up now, is a perp is in a back room with a swinging light over the perp's head. Is Abigail is on a high stool so she could be eye level with him because she's 3.5. And she looks at him and says, in no uncertain terms, "Don't lie. It's bad. Be nice."
Right.
Those type of things.
And if the guy asked for a cigarette, what would she say?
"Don't smoke."
Right.
Actually, when he started to talk, she would probably say, "Shh, Elmo."
Right. Yeah, yeah, he can't be interrupted. Yeah. Can you see, like, her taking time off at the office to watch Elmo?
I know.
Elmo's World?
I'm going on break.
And again, if you see a crime, what do you say?
"Stop."
No, you've blown it already. It's,
oh,
hey,
stop.
Stop.
Tonight, 3.5-year-old Abigail Grace fights crime in America's favorite city. Evil will be stopped by her and her aging grandfather who yells, "Hey, stop," at runaway criminals.
"Hey, stop!"
Yeah, Pops, that's enough.
Hey, at least you got involved.
As
right?
A citizen.
A lot of people would just let it go and not do anything. You did.
Yeah.
So you followed your instincts and you got involved.
But you could have memorized the license plate number.
No, I did. I actually did. But so did the driver of the other car.
So did Abigail Grace.
Abigail Grace recognized it. She actually ran it on a tiny computer. Texter says, "I think Abigail Grace's new show should include crime-solving things that kids are guilty of. Like, everybody admits to who broke the window, how'd the remote get in the fish tank." I like this.
Yeah,
I like this. We may have to make this one a writer. Yeah, 847. We're hiring the 847 as a writer.
I like that. I do. Very good.
Fact or Fiction, Jason's in Fox Lake. Hi, Jason.
Hey, how are you?
Doing fine. Look, I'm a little shaky after the crimes. All right, John, fact or fiction?
Here you go. Some dog breeds called kitty pups are bred to specifically exhibit cat-like behavior.
That sounds ridiculous.
Yeah, it sounds pretty ridiculous to me, Steve.
Yeah, well, Jason and I are going fiction.
No, that's absolutely right. It is fiction. I made that up.
Jason, you are a big, big, big winner. And you know what I have for you, Jason? I have for you a Lou Malnati's gift certificate, which means you're eating pizza.
All right. Excellent. Can't wait.
LouMalnati's.com. Thanks for listening. I appreciate you doing that. Joe is in Vernon Hills. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning, guys.
I know you're nervous. You ready, babe? I'm sorry.
I'm not nervous.
Sorry, I was just distracted. We're now getting title suggestions for the show. 312 says Abigail 5-0. You know, like
about, oh yeah, that's good. I like that.
How about FOF?
All right. Listen, let's just get you some prizes here. Fact or fiction? Here we go.
Here you go. Ketchup originated in China is boiled down brine of pickle fish called K-chop.
Say it again.
Ketchup originated in China is boiled down brine of pickled fish called K-chop.
Dave?
Well, I think that's fact.
Dave?
I say no. I say it's fiction.
Yeah, I think it's probably fiction, too. But it's your prize, Joe. You say fact.
I'm going to go fact.
Okay.
It's a fact. It's a fact.
Okay, then where did ketchup come from?
K-E-COA. I'm telling you. Look it up, Dave.
So if I said to you, I'm going to put boiled down brine of a pig on a hot dog, is it still as offensive to you?
Yes.
Okay, just checking.
Yes.
Hey, Joe.
You can't do that in Chicago anyway.
That's right.
Okay, take it easy, Joe. You're obviously out of control. Joe, I've got an app gift card for you, ABT.com. We love app. You love app. Hold on and get that. Joanne is in Joliet. Hi, Joanne. How are you?
Good. How are you?
What are you doing today?
Nothing so far.
How's that working out? Pretty good?
Yes.
All right. Congratulations. Fact or fiction time. Here's John.
I just love Dave goes, he's right.
I know. He couldn't be more disappointed.
Here you go. Donkey Kong got his name from the creator because he thought donkey in English meant stupid.
All right. Say that again.
Donkey Kong got his name from the creator because he thought donkey in English meant stupid.
So this is someone that was not from the United States
that
created Donkey Kong.
Correct.
I don't know. What do you think, Joanne?
I don't know.
Yeah, me either.
What do you think?
I think it sounds true. It sounds factual to me, Dave.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's true, but it sounds true, so I'm going facts.
Mary?
Sounds weird enough that DeCoste made it up.
All right, so you think fiction,
yeah.
Steve?
I'm going to say fiction, too.
I'm going fact. All right, what's your answer, Joanne?
I thought it was kind of true, too.
All right, we're going fact. Joanne
it's
and I are
fact.
Going fact. Yeah,
it is a fact.
Joanne!
Very good.
Joanne, I have tickets for you for an evening with Bernadette Peters. Oh, that's a cool show at the Paramount Theater in Aurora. Saturday, August 17th, one-night-only event with Broadway royalty. Tickets for you at ParamountAurora.com, unless you're Joanne, because you just won them for free.
Okay, thank you.
Not a big
wow.
Not a big Bernadette Peters
calm
fan.
Calm down.
Oh, I love Bernadette Peters. She's awesome.
Well, maybe Joanne could take it. Joanne, are you not a big Bernadette Peters fan?
Yeah, I am.
Would you prefer I give you a pizza instead?
Yeah, I'll take a pizza.
Seventh caller right now gets Joanne's tickets to Bernadette Peters, 312-981-7200. You get a LouMelNattis.com pizza. I thank you for listening, Joanne.
All right, thank you.
Thanks, hold on. Hey, look, I appreciate the honesty.
Yeah, that was good.
An evening with Bernadette Peters and not Joanne. That's the new title. And seventh caller wins now, 312-981-7200. You boys take care of that. Tell me who the winner is. In the meantime, I totally forgot what we're doing. We'll come back in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Yeah, it's close enough. That's next on 720 WGN. Michelle in Naperville got the evening with Bernadette Peters at the Paramount Theater in Aurora, Saturday, August 17th. And by the way, in defense of Joanne would have taken the tickets, but I could sense in her voice she was a little disappointed. And she chose the pizza. And perfectly fine.
You were right. She was honest.
Yeah.
Well, that was good. That was actually good.
Yeah.
And when I answered the phone, Michelle was like, I guess.
No, it was Michelle.
No, she
excited?
Was super excited.
Okay,
she was
good.
Pumped.
Good. One night only event with Broadway royalty. By the way, they have Lou Malnati's backstage with Bernadette Peters. Yeah, it'll be great. Get tickets at ParamountAurora.com. Here's what's coming up in the 9 o'clock hour. Obviously, our friends at CLTV will join us. Got an interesting woman who did a TED Talk that we want to talk to you about coming up here in a couple of seconds. Some guests from Freaky Friday.
Yep.
Where's that?
That's at the Royal Theater.
But the musical version of it.
Musical version, yes.
Live
correct.
Version of that. Coming in as well. And you guys on 312-981-7200. All right. Now, the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom is where Steve will be next.
Well, this is definitely Wacker Drive. My estimations are correct. We should be very close.
Steve Cochran on 720 WGN.
BodhiSpiritualCenter.org is the website for our guest in studio. Lola Wright, you may have seen her TED Talk, and I wanted to talk to her because it's a topic that fascinates me, and that's kids in religion. I'm not talking about little kids in Sunday school. I'm talking about younger folks and their tie to religion, religious traditions, and their families and things. So what stuff you found is pretty fascinating.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it was largely personally motivated. You know, I was raised in Catholic school, Catholic church until I was 13, and my mom left my dad for a woman on the North Shore of Chicago, which in 1992 was very scandalous.
Sure, of course.
And it became clear to me that, like, the agreements, the cultural agreements, theological underpinnings didn't feel like a match for my family, for my personal interests. And so I really started exploring. And now what I found is that more and more people are interested in like a practice of mindfulness and of awareness, and understand some of the tenets of love and freedom and peace, but don't want the dogma and the doctrine.
Well, I was driven away. I was baptized as a Methodist,
okay.
and grew up in that sort of Catholic light sort of style.
Mm-hmm.
But I was turned off by the hypocrisy, in my opinion, mm-hmm. of too much of it.
Mm-hmm.
So my kids, our kids, were raised in a non-denominational Christian household.
Mm-hmm.
Both my kids are very spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
They go to church most Sundays, I think. But mm-hmm. that's kind of unique for that 30 and under age range.
It is. And actually, I mean, you know, we were founded 15 years ago as sort of a response to people leaving traditional religious constructs. And now even our programming or format as an organization is in an evolution. We have done Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. for 15 years, and Sunday, July 28th, is our last Sunday. We are moving to a live audience podcast on a weekday evening, and it really is in response to, number one, the competing interests of people's overscheduled lives, and just really meeting people where they are.
Well, you know what? I'm such a hypocrite about this, because my church, Community Christian Church, multi-location,
yep.
You know, a non-denominational church, they put the services up on the app. You can get them there. And there's a portion of me, you know, because my kids are pretty good about it. And again, I wasn't raised in a house where you're going to church at Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
But I felt like, is this a millennial laziness thing? If I can get it on my phone, why would I get up, get dressed, and go to church? But it doesn't feel like it is.
No, I mean, when we started live streaming a couple years ago, we saw our attendance cut in half. And, you know, we can resist that, or we can sort of meet people where they are. And I think, you know, religion and traditional community frameworks are being demanded to innovate, to evolve. And it's like, why would we expect that we're exploring things like artificial intelligence and immunotherapy, but community organizing should remain stagnant?
Yeah, and if we leave the rigidity of the Catholic Church behind, and everybody else says, well, I better catch up because I'm going to be left behind if I'm not. What about those family traditions? I don't want to disappoint my parents. I don't want to disappoint my grandparents. What do you know about that?
Well, it's interesting. I have four kids that are 21, 19, 10, and 7. And I was
Well, you look great for an old lady, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, yeah. Thanks. I was putting my 7-year-old to bed last night, and I was thinking about the fact that Bodhi's last Sunday is July 28th, and I was feeling sadness. Like, mm-hmm. wow, that is sort of a ritual that we have that's going away. And the onus then is placed on me to continue to create that context. But I think that, you know, when you let something fall all the way down to the ground and break down, something new will emerge. And oftentimes, I think particularly in religious spaces, we keep doing what we know for fear of the unknown, which is sort of ironic because yes. theoretically faith is about the unknown, right? But we perpetuate systems out of a fear of losing people. And I don't know. I mean, I just think there is great value in ritual and tradition. There's great value in people having consistency and practice. And, you know, AYSO games now occur on Sunday morning, too. So
right.
what are you going to do about that?
Well, you know, I think, too, that the old school, just out of the Bible teaching of be a better person,
mm-hmm.
Give us some money so we can keep this place open.
Mm-hmm.
I think kids' attention span for that is pretty thin. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why small groups have become so popular, because
yep.
the small group idea being that you're going to be able to talk about the world you're living in and the life that you're leading and how your spirituality applies to it is much more personal.
Yeah, I also think that, you know, the state of the nation is causing a lot of confrontation to people's spiritual framework. I think that, like, to your earlier point, the hypocrisy that younger generations are seeing in politics,
yeah.
in religion, in lots of institutional spaces is causing a kind of revolution or an evolution that I think is actually really healthy. So the things that once worked are no longer working, and we see that really across all systems. We're seeing that in our economy. We're
sure.
seeing that in government. And we can be sort of fearful about that and constrict and contract and try to hold on to what we know, or we can trust that the nature of life is to evolve. And, you know, all the critiques of young people, I largely disagree with. I mean, Bodhi attracts tons of young people.
Sure.
And I think part of that is because we're really interested in the perspectives that they bring and how we're being called to loosen our attachments and evolve into more conscious beings.
Well, if you believe, whatever God, I always say, whatever God you believe in, get closer to that God.
Yep.
And good luck with you.
Yep.
But I also believe, and this is part of clearing up the hypocrisy maybe, that if I don't want to go to church on a Sunday, and I show up because I feel obligated.
Yep.
Well, God knows I don't want to be there.
Yeah.
That's my set of beliefs, right? So I'm better off being at home or wherever I want to be and spending some time either meditating mm-hmm. or praying mm-hmm. or talking about the things that matter than I am sitting in church for an hour and wishing I wasn't there.
Yeah. I mean, the funny thing is that the philosophical underpinnings of Bodhi, if you will, don't involve obligation. And when you take hell and obligation out of the equation, the question becomes, how do you motivate people to participate?
Right.
Because if obligation and hell are the motivators because you're scared out of your mind, mm-hmm. I think that game is coming to an end. You know, one of my teachers and friends is this guy named Michael Beckwith, and he always says, pain pushes until vision pulls. And I think humanity has been pushed by pain for thousands of years. And actually, our brains are evolving such that we could be pulled by a bigger idea than just fear and pain. Neuroscience is proving that. The demise or the sort of deconstruction of religion is proving
right.
that. Human beings want to be pulled by a vision. They don't want to be beaten. You know, I mean, honestly, like, you know, all due respect to people who identify as Catholic, but, you know, I oftentimes will still go to my local parish on occasions just to see how the rhetoric is evolving.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say by and large, it isn't, you know, and I think people are tired of sitting in spaces where they're told how bad and wrong they are.
Well, I just don't know how in 2019, along with that, you can say one half of our congregation is not godly enough to lead the congregation.
That's right.
That is completely counter to what the Bible says, as far as I'm concerned.
That's right. Yeah, my grandmother was a devout social justice Catholic. And when I became an ordained minister in Ancient Wisdom and New Thought teachings, I called her and said, hey, you know, just want to let you know this is what's going on in my world. And she said, oh, I am so grateful we finally have a priest. You know,
wow.
And I mean, she knew exactly what she was
sure,
saying.
Of course.
She, you know, my grandfather, by the time she was 87, my grandfather was 89, she said, Bill, I really think we should go to I think it was like the Methodist Church or the Episcopal Church. I'm sick of this Catholic stuff.
Right.
I can't negotiate this in my soul anymore. And he was like, Terry, why would we do that now?
Mm-hmm.
My grandfather ended up dying shortly thereafter, and she buried him and memorialized him in the Episcopal Church. It was pretty funny, just
wow.
because she was like, I don't want to do this anymore.
Right, right.
You know, this game of, you know, pretending some people are bestowed with this and others aren't. You know, my uncle died of AIDS in, I think, 1985, and watching her respond to the church's reaction to her gay son dying of AIDS, I think that was sort of the beginning of the end for her. It was like she was a devotional follower of Jesus and really thought, these people don't know Jesus. If they don't know how to treat my son in this hour, then what are we really doing here?
Yeah.
And I think more and more, regardless of your religious tradition, younger people are saying, wait a second, there is a massive integrity issue between what we say we believe and how we walk on the planet. And that's not working. It's leading to the devastation of our climate. It's leading to the devastation of human relationships. It's, you know, it's just something's not working. It's time for something new.
More coming up. Lola Wright from the BodhiSpiritualCenter.org, which is a great website, by the way. I encourage you to spend some time there. Because really, you could go to the Bodhi Spiritual Center, but she's not there right now. You want to throw out a phone number, too, or is it best just to go to the website?
Yeah, go to the website or go to social. Our social handles are at Bodhi Chicago.
Yeah, BODHI, by the way.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Lola Wright's here, the Bodhi Spiritual Center. Well, I mean, if somebody said, what's your main mission? What's your main mission?
I'm really committed to awakening humanity from the trance of fear I feel like people are walking in a like triggered reactive state, in a perpetual state of fear, which actually is consistent with our physiology and our biology. But most of us aren't actually living in a survival state. So really what I'm up to is waking people up to the ways that fear runs them, and then imagine who you could be, what you could be up to if you weren't in a perpetual loop of fear.
Well, fear causes you to react, and you only act when you react. We know that the most successful people in the world act, and everybody else reacts to them. When you do that emotionally, I think we've seen study after study, and obviously anecdotally, real human action, whether it's your marriage, your dating, whatever, act.
Yes, that's right. I mean, honestly, my number one tip for people is breathe. Consciously breathe. Like, let your shoulders fall. Notice your brow. Notice your jaw. They're usually in a constricted state. See if you can create a little bit of spaciousness between your earlobes and your shoulders. And allow your belly to soften and expand.
And make sure your phone's not within reach.
Yeah, honestly. I mean, our central nervous systems are, like, on fire.
Right. Right, because there's never a break. 847, Steve, I'm a longtime WJM listener. I want to let you know this interview you're doing right now is one of the best you've done. Both your points and her points on spot. Very interesting. Thank you. And then, 847, this sounds like another opportunity to isolate ourselves. Let's talk about that for a second, because there is the tradition of community that goes with going to temple or going to church or whatever. What happens when we lose that?
Well, I don't think we should lose it. I mean, that's I think that, you know, isolation and loneliness are two of the greatest challenges human beings are dealing with today. What I'm actually suggesting is find community frameworks that are a match and are aligned with your values. I think, unfortunately, people aren't really invoking curiosity and looking for solutions. And so I can't tell you the number of people that I know that are staying in religious traditions despite the fact that they're no longer a match for their values, just because they think there isn't something else out there. Look, I mean, you know, I don't care if it's your yoga class or, you know, creating your own monthly dinner group. There are lots of ways to create community frameworks that are like a soul salve. The thing is, if you don't have traditional religious constructs, there is something that's lost. And so I think that if we're not going to have, I mean, statistically, church is dying. Like, that's not an opinion.
No.
That is a statistical
It's a mathematical
analysis.
Fact.
Yeah. And so, if that is so, then what can be a solution for the innate need for connection? It's not going to be spoon-fed the way it has been historically. Human beings are going to have to start taking personal responsibility for what they want to create.
Well, here's the thing that is, you know, maybe a parallel concern. Churches do a lot of good when they're done well.
Yep.
Less people in church means less money for church, which means less money that could be given to do that good. So is there something that's being developed? Do you know of, and I keep saying kids, but I mean 30 and unders, who are developing a new way to do church as a business model to raise the kind of money needed to do the good work?
Well, I mean, we just rolled out an entirely new contributor model this past Sunday at Bodie that's basically like, hey, I'm looking for 108 people to contribute anywhere from $3,600 a year to $50,000 a year, which to some people might be like, what? But it's really a request to disrupt the patterns of scarcity, because we grip our money so tightly. I mean, I will tell you, that's one of my greatest concerns around sort of the dissolution of charitable spaces or communal spaces, is how then do people understand the importance of generosity? Like, if you're not going to have generosity be a value that exists within a religious construct, which I can totally understand and appreciate, I hope that human beings understand the importance of circulating what you have. Because if we move into a state of society where everybody's just gripping their money and hoarding it, there's something about the law of circulation. Like, if I can get 108 people to give somewhere between $3,600 a year, which is $300 a month, people blow $300 a month on all kinds of nonsense.
Starbucks.
That's right. Exactly. So if I can actually cast a vision that says, you know, one of the things that it's unique about Bodie is it's a multiracial, intergenerational, queer-affirming, non-religious space. that talks about relevant social issues from a curious state versus a drama-based pattern.
Do you have atheists?
Yep.
See, because I think there's an interesting mix between that that's also coming up generationally, and that is non-believers,
yep,
or certainly agnostics,
yep,
are looking for something that they can become a part of as well.
Yeah, I mean, I look at my 21-year-old and my 19-year-old, and if I can't state a case for them as to why a place like Bodhi matters, then expect you have probably 10 years left in your business. Like, I mean, the fact of the matter is all nonprofits are businesses.
Yeah,
churches are businesses. There's nothing wrong. The word business is not a dirty word. And if you can't state a case for a 21 and a 19-year-old as to what's your value proposition to them, you will not be around.
You're fascinating. I don't say that to many people. You really are.
Thanks.
I hope we can have you back.
Would love to.
And because when you came in, the shades were down, and because the first segment went well, I let you see the lake.
Oh, I'm so
I
grateful.
Feel that's a spiritual gift in some small way from me to you.
You are a spiritual gift.
But seriously, thank you for being here. For anybody that wants more information, just go to the website.
Yep, BodhiSpiritualCenter.org or at Bodhi Chicago on social.
And where is the center itself?
It's currently at 1356 West Augusta in Chicago's West Town neighborhood, right off the expressway.
You're moving?
We're in a perpetual state of moving.
Were the feds after you? You don't know?
It's actually part of being a young idea. It's sort of an uncertain experience. And so if you want to practice non-attachment, come hang out with us.
Well, there you go. You need to become the Uber. I need spirituality.
That's basically what we're doing.
On my app, I hit you up, you come over.
You got it.
Thank you for doing this.
Thank you for having me.
We'll come back with the headlines next on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
On 720 WGN.
It's New Year's Eve. We're doing two shows again because, you know, we're crazy show business like that.
Nuts.
Stand-up comedy in the middle of the afternoon. But it's New Year's Eve, so you'll probably be loaded by then.
It's for people who can't stay up till 3 o'clock.
Right. Or you see the show, you nap, you go out again, have a little dinner.
You're absolutely right.
Rouse Center, one of our favorite theaters.
We love it. Crystal Lake.
Are they selling tickets yet?
Yeah, tickets are up for sale, yes.
Okay.
Go on their website.
Speaking of the Rouse Center, Freaky Friday at the Rouse. How'd you find out about this?
You know what? I do get to, because I deal with Lucy's Cafe there and everything.
I talked to Richard.
But this was kind of cool. They haven't had a musical in a bit, so this is kind of neat. And I thought, especially with everything that's going on now.
Sure.
You know, because we assume that Donald Trump switched with Barron. So, okay.
That's a great point. I hadn't thought about that.
Yeah.
No, that could entirely
could
be true.
A lot. Could
Dave, have
a lot.
You thought about that?
not till just now.
So, yeah. Barron is the mature adult, and Trump's the 13 or the 12-year-old.
I saw that movie.
Freaky Donnie. So, introduce our guest.
Yeah, well, this is kind of both of these people. We've got Joe Lehman. Sitting to my left, and of course, then Catherine Yore. I apologize. Am I saying that correctly?
You are.
Yes.
Yeah.
This is good. So,
and Catherine, are you mom or daughter or both?
I am both. I play both.
Yeah, because it'd be tough to do that live on stage
right,
if you didn't, right?
Right. What is that? Sybil? Does she?
That's a different play. That's a different musical entirely.
Disney Presents. Yeah, I play Catherine at the top of the show and at the end of the show, but for the majority of the show, I play a teenager in an adult woman's body. So basically myself.
And this is working out your own problems with your own mother.
Really?
Right.
Therapy. It is, actually. Yeah. I've internalized a lot, but now it's all coming out.
Were you a fan of the movie?
Which one?
Well, both.
All of them.
Yeah,
well,
there are three?
Iterations. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know there was
And actually four if you count the Disney.
Well, the first one is Lindsay Lohan.
No.
No?
No.
Oh, no, I'm sorry.
No.
Oh, we go way
Jodie
back.
Jodie Foster and Barbara.
Oh, yeah. What am I talking about? Yes.
Yeah. That's right. You should know that.
Yeah.
Of course
horrible.
You should.
I'm sorry. I apologize.
Lindsay Lohan does not appear in this production, by the way.
No, she doesn't. She's
crazy. So do you watch it to prepare for it?
No, actually, I did not.
Because you know the story, but why watch little idiosyncrasies of the actresses, right?
Yeah, it varies a bit from all of the iterations of the movie and the book. I like to kind of come up with it, the character sure. myself. And really, I've been studying my the girl who plays my daughter slash mother, Jordan. She's amazing. So we've been studying each other's idiosyncrasies and mannerisms and vocal patterns to kind of...
The teenage girl part of this, is it 2019 teenager?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, so very fully phone addicted and...
phone addicted, dabbing.
Everybody gets stuff but me.
Yes.
Yeah, a little bit of that.
A little bit of that.
But a lot of drama.
A lot of drama, angst, teenage sure. angst. You remember what it's like to be a teenager, sure.
John remembers maybe. What it's like to be a teenage girl.
I do. Yeah. I do. Yeah. It was two rough years. I remember that.
Yeah. Scary. And then we said, John, stop time. It. Yeah. Joe, what do you do in this show?
I play Mike, the fiancé, so I'm all unsuspecting, generally supportive. People are having a little bit of an unusual day, but it's not so much freaky for me. It's just upsetting.
And it gets weird.
It gets real weird.
It gets real weird.
Especially
right?
playing the daughter in the woman's body, and he's like, hey, right. you're my fiancé. Let's make out.
It seems wrong to ask this, but what's the youngest you've dated, Joe?
Oh, man. When I was...
I think 21 would be the answer.
That would
yes,
be true,
21.
Yeah.
Yes. And what's the background for both of you? Joe, what's your acting background?
I came to acting in college. I hadn't done anything until then, and on a dare from a roommate, went out and auditioned for a show, that lighthearted comedy Antigone.
Oh, very funny.
Oh,
a lot of laughs. Yeah. A lot of laughs.
That's our Christmas. That's our holiday show.
And where'd you go to school?
University of Toledo.
Okay. And?
Oh, me. So I started acting professionally as a child, and then I got out of it. I've been doing music improv for a while with my team Stacked. So we do I.O., Second City, and yeah, this is my first.
Oh, you're kidding.
Musical, yeah, in a while.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
How long have you had to prepare for this? What's the rehearsal prior to the opening day?
We've been in rehearsal for 2 weeks.
Has it been 2 weeks?
This is going into our third week.
Yeah, and we've known that we were cast for probably at least a month before then.
So. Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
At what point does the rehearsal get to the point where you go, let's just start right now?
We aren't there yet.
No.
This is heading into our tech week, so we've got to bring in the other elements and everything. But we're doing runs of the show, so it's definitely starting to feel like a show.
A real show,
it's
and not just
quite
piecemeal.
The show it's going to be yet.
Well, the Rao giving up that stage for a month, that's a big deal.
It is a big deal. It is a big deal. And this, you know, you forget how deep that stage is. You know, I mean, it's actually quite a large stage.
Yeah, but coming from improv, being used to four chairs and inventing scenes in your head. Was it weird getting used to all that space?
No. When I was a child, I acted at the Goodman and Steppenwolf, and so I'm used to that.
She'd be the only one in the room that's done that.
It's a bit different from four chairs.
Yeah. Well, it's great to meet you both. Now, how do we get tickets?
They can go to RaoCenter.org. I'll get their website and click on the ticket. What are you? August 2nd through.
September 1st. There are student tickets and I think college tickets, perfect for families. Probably Disney, bring everyone.
If you like Disney, you're going to love the show.
And it's a PG show.
Yeah, for sure. It's great.
I think there's several shows that are 3 o'clock, so you can go to a matinee, or I guess is that we could say that a matinee Sundays. 3 p.m.
Yeah.
Is that okay? Good. Okay.
Yeah,
good.
And some days you can go to the matinee and just stay for the show.
Have some dinner and
that show's
Lake.
Later than our New Year's Eve show.
Yeah, no question about it. Well, we have two.
We have two. Yes, we have a late.
We have one at night as well. Yeah. Who else do you want to mention in the cast?
There's such a great
There's like 500
cast.
People on this show.
There's so many people. There's like 23, 24 people on the show. We've got Broadway actress, choreographer Natalie Wisdom.
Okay.
She is choreographing the show. Our director, Kent. He's great.
And we mentioned Jordan, who plays the daughter. We've got
Levi.
Sierra White, who plays the
gym teacher.
Overly aggressive
teacher.
So you guys are all getting along.
Oh, so
you
much.
All like each other.
So much. I love everybody in the
And
cast.
Joe, can you dance?
I can.
He
we
can
all
boogie.
Get to boogie a little bit in the wedding dance.
Oh, that's good.
Okay, good.
Oh, that's very good.
Well, it sounds like fun.
It's going to be a blast. It really is. Yeah.
And, right. and again, that theater is it's one
it's
of the
a great
best.
Room.
It's a little diamond in the rough out there. We love the Rao. And I'm actually going to come see your show. So I'm looking forward to it. Yeah. I'm going to be in one of the scenes. I don't know if you knew that.
Yeah, he's doing a walk on. And by that, he'll just walk up from the audience.
You're my understudy, aren't you?
I am your
Actually,
understudy.
With your improv background, big deal.
Yeah,
let him walk up.
Go with the flow.
Website again is RaoCenter.
RaoCenter.org.
Spelled the fancy way. So.
RAUE.
No, the CENTRE.
Oh, that one.
Yeah. .org. Yeah. Right, thank you guys for doing this.
Thank you so much.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Yeah, a quick note from the earlier guest in the hour from the Bodhi Spiritual Center. I love all you listeners. Some of you listen better than others. Here's a couple of examples. And I just hit a couple of quick texts, and I got a piece of tape to play for you. An entire religion should not be condemned because some have failed. It's not built on humans. We fail. Never said that. Never said that. God does not fail. Never accuse God of failing. Never happened. Steve, why do we need church to do good work? Why can't there be community centers that are not religiously based? Absolutely. You can. But you still need churches because churches do a lot of charitable work. Steve, great guest. Got that. There was one more here. Oh, here it is. Steve, lifelong 64-year-old Christian, always trying to keep an open mind. Church attendance should be from a spirit of love and gratitude. Fear and tradition is not the answer. Also, I believe it's important to gather physically with other worshipers, singing together, praying together, sharing one another's joys and sorrows. Can't be accomplished online. 1,000%. But what the guest was stating, and I don't disagree, is as church attendance falls, and as those under 30 stop going to church, for whatever reason it is, you need to figure out another way to keep that that the church, in quotes, alive. And if you're not a part of that, well, good for you. I'm not judging you. I just agree with the guest in that churches now need to figure out a way to continue without letting it all slip past. Andrew McCabe is the former director of the FBI and the former assistant to the FBI director before Trump fired him. And he has this advice for Congress going into the Mueller hearings tomorrow.
Were I Congress, I would pick the top three or four areas that they think are most impactful and go through a very deliberate series of questions to get Director Mueller to talk about the evidence that supports each of those elements of the crime. He is a prosecutor by background. He brought cases. He tried cases in federal court. If you walk him through the evidence on one particular act of obstruction, you say, was there an obstructive act? And he describes one. You say, was there a nexus to a proceeding? And he describes it. You say, was there intent? And he describes the evidence. And then pose that question to him. It's going to be very hard for him to say that in similar circumstances, a person confronting that sort of evidence wouldn't be charged with obstruction.
We will cover portions of that tomorrow live, not the full 5 hours, but you'll be able to hear it here. Coming up, Stories of Matter with Steve Bertrand, Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio. 10 o'clock, Scoshafter, actually. Bill Leff is here with his partner, Oh the Day. But you just took part in our school picture day.
I sure did, Steve. It was a lot of fun.
How did it go?
Oh, it was great.
They offer any prizes for behavior?
No, there were no prizes. But, you know, I don't have that many moods. Like they would say, look more forceful, look more whimsical. And I don't have that kind of range.
You do goofy.
Yeah, I did that one.
Yeah?
I did that one.
And you said that's all I got?
Yes.
And you did take off the hat.
Yeah.
Did somebody lick their fingers and then help you with your bangs?
Mary, yeah, the answer is yes to that.
Somebody licked their fingers and touched your head?
A perfect stranger.
Mm-hmm.
Who claims to
work?
Belky. Belky and Cousin Larry licked my hair.
Well, we're going to go take our pictures.
Oh, you didn't
now.
Do yours yet?
No,
it's fun.
No, because the show starts at 6.
So
you got to be here for most of the time.
They'll trim your eyebrows if you ask them.
Oh, yeah. That's nice.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
Is it awkward to ask for a massage prior to the photo?
Yeah, because we're going to look like crud by the time we get our pictures taken.
Not me.
We've been here a long time.
Not me. I look like crud after, too.
Yeah.
What are you doing today?
You know the Eastland disaster that took place here in Chicago, one of the worst maritime accidents of all time? There's a new documentary about the maritime disaster that Harvey Moshman put together, one of the creators of Wild Chicago. He'll be in.
And that's why you brought Harry in today?
Yeah.
Yeah, it needed someone to blame. even though it happened like 100 years ago, it's my fault.
I think Harry had a little something to do with Eastland.
I believe we call that a Tynowitz.
Thanks for verbing my name now.
See you tomorrow.